I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
TC, Dave G, OB.
It's good. I like that.
Yeah.
On The Game.
Yeah.
Mitch will be with us in a little bit. He's got 5:45 game call as Rock Creek matches up with Atchison. That's one of those that I still have to adjust to the new nickname because I was in that area for so long. It's not what it was. It's Phoenix, the Atchison Phoenix.
Ah, they switched up the mascot.
You got
I
it.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting mascot, by the way.
I mm-hmm. agree,
Phoenix.
Yeah.
6 o'clock tip-off, by the way, in the 4A boys tournament in Salina. They, by the way, gone to the fourth quarter of the game in front of it. So on time and ready to roll. Everything looks solid in Salina in getting ready for that matchup that we'll have for you this evening here on News Radio KMAN. As state tournament action continues throughout the state. And again, so strange to not have one at Bramlage this year. Just
weird.
Weird. Yeah, exactly. We all thought... had our thoughts throughout the course of the season regarding Nick Saban and what Alabama and he might be thinking and looking at and considering. And it came to a head just a few weeks back when he made his announcement. Chris Lowe at ESPN was the Nick Saban whisperer to report it. And he has an interview with Saban now this week that talks up some of the reasons why, not that many of them should be a surprise to you, why the man who rebuilt Alabama into the national champion power that it has become elected to step away from the game of college football, at least in a coaching role. One of the things right out of the box, transfer portal. Mm. I don't think that that's a surprise to anyone. Mm-hmm. They quote, "I thought we could have a hell of a team next year and then maybe 70 or 80% of the players you talk to, all they want to know is two things. What assurances do I have that I'm going to play because they're thinking about transferring? And how much are you going to pay me?" End quote.
The longstanding joke, and obviously I think it still somewhat reigns true, is that it's not as much fun when everybody gets to pay the players. You know,
like, right.
So it's difficult when there's a competition, right? And I don't, the transfer portal, I don't think would have been as big of a deal for him had NIL not came about when it did. But because transfer portal with no NIL, and you're Nick Saban sitting there, and you're like, well, how much are you going to play me? Because I don't know if I want to be here. And you're like, I'm not going to make any guarantees. If you want to not win a national championship, go somewhere else. But mm-hmm. if you do want to, stay.
Mm-hmm. Our program here, let me quote again, was always built on how much value can we create for your future and your personal development, academic success in graduating, and developing an NFL career on the field. So I'm saying to myself, maybe this doesn't work anymore. And that it's all about how much money can I make as a college player.
I think it is trending towards being more of a young man's game for sure, because recruiting has been twice as difficult mm-hmm. when you bring NIL and the transfer portal stuff in, and a guy that's in his 70s just cannot recruit as well as a Kalen DeBoer or any of the young guys that are going to be out and about getting up and down the trails, getting all the five stars and everything. So it makes sense And also not shocking, truthfully. But.
No, and it but it falls in line with what essentially we all were kind of picking up on from Nick Saban. Now, that being said, one of the things, it smacks of being a bit on the elitist side in that, oh, this was all fine and dandy until the kids got paid.
Yeah.
I got to go back, though. You really think that Kalen DeBoer can recruit better than Nick Saban?
No, not like that, but I think
like
he can handle the schedule.
He's not in a walker.
No.
He's got access to things that Kalen DeBoer had never heard of in Washington.
Yeah, and couldn't imagine.
The stuff that he can do. I think this is an overreaction to NIL and the transfer portal because there are so many guys that have decided to enter the transfer portal and have the guts, or I guess the lack of awareness, to ask a guy like Nick Saban, when you going to play me and how much you going to pay me?
Yeah.
They're going to leave, and then they're not going to get in. They're not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go, the worst thing I ever did was jump in the transfer portal because I thought I'd be a hot commodity. There's a name I'm going to throw out. I've thrown it out before, and I don't mean to pick on this guy. I really don't. Adrian Lara, the quarterback at K-State, he left because he saw the writing on the wall. It's pretty easy to see. And he's like, I'm not going to get a chance to play. He didn't think about the idea, like, injuries happen all the time. I mean, especially K-State quarterbacks are, there's a history there. You might, if you stuck around, you might have gotten a chance to put some tape out there. He has yet to find a new team. It's spring ball.
Yeah, it's very true.
He doesn't have a team. And I will say, majority of the kids that leave Alabama, you're already going to have that stamp of, he played at Alabama. So you might get that extra push and be able to go somewhere. But there will be guys who are left in the dust. And this transfer portal NIL thing is Wild West right now. But in a few years, it's going to calm down.
I agree.
And I think Nick Saban maybe is taking a step back and waiting for the tidal wave to come back and get a little more normal where people go, oh, I need to be careful with my NCAA eligibility. I need to find a home. Go ahead.
And then he rebuilds LSU back into a national.
Oh, man.
Just jumps right back over.
He's going to go to Boston College or somewhere like that and go, let's go, boys.
He's going to go join Notre Dame. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The most unsufferable team.
Turn it off. Turn this off. We're done. That was too much. You opened a can.
Let's turn this to another sport in the SEC for a moment. And just a little personal knowledge. One of the things that has been a struggle for me through the course of this season is how to react to Dalton Kanek's situation at Tennessee. Dalton was a guy who literally was an incomer at Northern Colorado out of Northeastern Junior College. Sterling, Colorado.
Wait, that's the name of the college?
Uh-huh.
Northeastern,
Colorado Junior College.
Okay, Colorado. You just said Northeastern Junior College first?
Yeah, sorry. I mean, it's NJC. Literally, that's how it's known. I mean, that's just...
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
A year there, COVID year there, winds up in Northern Colorado. They put time, energy, effort, all of it in. He essentially was a guy who flew under the radar. I will admit this. Goes to Northern Colorado. Isn't necessarily lighting it up, but something triggered at Tennessee. And he got convinced to get into the transfer portal, and away things went. There's that part of me that cheers for him because that's a heck of a story. There's part of me that cringes because I know what time, energy, effort, and resources went into developing him at Northern Colorado. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bears this year have done a better job of recovering from that. They got a transfer out of Loyola of Chicago, who has torn it up and was among those named this fine day to the Big Sky's all-conference team. And they finished second in the conference. The point being, though, still, there's time, energy, effort, everything that has gone into, and someone at Tennessee got a whiff of what was going on with him and parlayed that into, hey, come on down here.
We gotcha.
And so you have that going on in the background as well with even a program of Alabama's style. Especially with the program of Alabama's situation, because people know what they've got for talent. And so you have all of these hands that are grasping away at the depth you used to have.
Yep.
If you're a coach.
Mm-hmm.
That takes some fun out of it as well.
Oh, 100%.
You're beginning to realize you don't have that resource that you used to have of being able to have ones and twos that could beat almost anybody in college football. Because the twos are starting to be pulled away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How much are you going to pay me and how much are you going to play me? To be a guy that goes up to Nick Saban?
In a vacuum, yeah. Ooh. Just about any player. Now, obviously, he's a Jalen Milroe or like a very high caliber player. But at the same time, that guy probably shouldn't be questioning his playing time. You were just a starting quarterback for this team all year long. Mm-hmm. But to me, to a certain degree, if I'm a college head, if I'm a head coach somewhere, and now obviously, if you enter the portal after Saban leaves, I'm like, all right, new head coach, you want a fresh start. I understand that. Cool. If you're one of the guys that left before Saban retired, truthfully to me, I'm like, why? You're leaving the greatest college football coach of all time, right? And to me, as a guy who loves football, I'm sitting here like, you've got to have a story or something here because you are giving away an opportunity. Even if you ride the bench for a year, you're 19. You have 3 years of eligibility left, and you are leaving the greatest mind that our level of this game has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So even sitting on the bench for a year and learning from Nick Saban and the guys above you in that star-studded program is way more worthwhile than going to any small-time conference or even mid-level or even to the Big Ten on one of the lower-end schools, a Big 12 in a lower-end school, and playing and starting every game there. So, yeah, I look at it as like, hey, you left Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want this guy here.
One of the interesting twists to this, if you look back at college football history, is that in many ways the transfer portal to me is transformational the way that the scholarship limits, when they went into effect literally right at the start of the 90s, were transformational to the game, and that helped a K-State. At the time, it helped Kansas. It helped any number of schools because no longer could Nebraska stockpile 100 guys.
100 4 and 5 star guys, like, mm-hmm. just so nobody else could have them.
Correct. That changed the face of college football at just the perfect time, by the way, with television, as we've talked about in the past, because it also made more teams more viable to watch.
Mm-hmm. And then you have more bowl games.
Correct.
And then it's, now we get to go places. We get to go to Glendale, Arizona. Let's go. Let's go to the Holiday Bowl. That's awesome. It was the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe there's going to be something. And I believe it'll be with the transfer thing. I don't think you're going to be able to just do what you want to do forever. I think there will be restrictions placed on people. But I think the NIL, it's we're off and running. I think that's going to grow.
Who's going to put the restrictions on them? That's where the rub really comes in. Transfer portal is managed by the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the rare things that they actually oversee in college football at the top notch of the FBS level.
Which is an insane sentence to say out loud, in my opinion. But
continue. No, it is insane.
Yeah.
But because they kept getting their butts handed to them in court, and they've started getting their butts handed to them in court again, they kind of gave up oversight and just let the conference commissioners take it over. And so what has happened is that the Southeastern Conference has turned themselves into the de facto.
Which everyone saw coming from a million miles away. Because they've had Lord knows how many powerful programs with, even without championships, just powerhouses.
Yeah, let's also bear in mind, you know, the Southeastern Conference, those football teams are more religion than what any of the NFL teams are in that rank.
Not a doubt about it at all.
So, I mean, that's their pro football for most of them.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's, you know, whether it was under the table or over the table. but one of the funniest lines, actually, as all of this develops, saw on Twitter yesterday, someone made the comment, we need to bring back the Southwest Conference. Because now they'd be doing it legally.
What I think we need to bring back is the Trans Am. That was the thing that was really pushing all of that. You don't get Marcus Dupree's story without a Trans Am sitting in the driveway, you know?
Eric Dickerson?
Eric Dickerson?
The Eric Dickerson one was the all-timer because of the fact that he got it from A&M and still went to SMU.
Yeah, he said, thank you. This is awesome.
That's fantastic.
T-top Firebird? This is awesome.
Gold Firebird.
Awesome.
Oh, man. What an era.
Yeah.
What an era.
What an era.
And then from there, we went to members of the Oklahoma Sooners shooting guns at each other. And the 80s were the last of the outlaw programs.
The 80s, man. What a trip. What a trip.
Speaking of the 80s, someone shared my high school graduation photo, the graduating class photo on Facebook today.
How large is that graduating class?
56, largest to ever go through my school.
How about it? There you go. I'm shocked by that number.
A lot. We were in that discussion again earlier today because Brandon's like, you went to a school that was unusual. Yeah, the Atlas Missile Base.
Wow.
You don't know this story?
I don't think I do.
This is, I joke about Missile Silo High. And some friends of mine here in town chuckle at that because that's what it was. It was an Atlas Missile Silo. And base, that by the time it was complete and they put the missile in, it already was obsolete. The Atlas was an obsolete weapon at that point. And so the Air Force was out of there within 5 years.
And they go, you know what would be...
You know what would go really well here?
You know what we should do? Slap these kids in here and let's go.
$1.
Wow.
$1. The four communities that make up my school district that I went to, one of my uncles, in fact, was on the school board that helped put this together, $1 to the federal government
to
pay for Missile Silo High.
Was that in Colorado?
No.
Where is it at?
Northeast Kansas.
Northeast Kansas, okay.
North of Houlton, Jackson Heights.
Fair enough. That's
Missile Silo High. That is cool.
So... when you hear me joke about Missile Silo High, know that my math and science classes were four stories below ground.
That's insane.
Packed with asbestos.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
You don't want to know any of the, I mean, they have sealed off that area of the school at this point because everything was well beyond military issue time. And length of ability for it to be maintained.
The maintenance on that had to have been a nightmare.
And so, yeah, they've kind of moved away from that, but let's be perfectly honest. The fact that, let's see, opened in 69, so my class was the 20th to go through, and so now you're looking, it's almost 50 years.
Jeez. Wow.
For a buck.
for $1.
It's a good deal.
Hey, adjusted with inflation, that's
pretty good.
$27. Yeah. So
you did good. I have still no idea. Doing good.
I have no idea what the math.
And the football field lies where the airstrip was.
That's.
So you get tackled on that bad boy. You're going to feel it.
Oh, no. No. They did turn that all to grass. All right.
We'll throw you down that hatch if you don't play well.
Yeah.
So, yes. So any reference to missile silo high, you now understand, Owen. That's okay.
Yeah. Just a note, by the way, I was surprised by how large a graduating class was, being a smaller town. But
yes.
My graduating class was like 450 plus.
Yeah. Jesus.
I had 419 at Manhattan High. I played ball with a guy at Hutch. They went to Brewster, and they had six.
Yeah. Six. Yes.
And
yes.
I go, dang. I go, graduation must have been like... That.
That's
go,
awesome.
No.
What?
We had time
for everybody.
Everybody. We did their. He goes, Billy was born in 19.
Oh.
They just went through baby pictures all the way to senior year.
I mean,
for
that is
six
cool.
people.
Oh,
it took them,
man.
He said it took them 7.5 hours.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
But it took them forever.
Oh, 2 hours.
Oh, man.
They did graduation. I thought, man.
Love it.
Yeah.
Brewster, shout out to them. Shout out to J.R. Baird.
My class, because it was what it was, bumped our school up to a 3A school for a brief time.
Ooh, no, we're playing 3A now.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go play. No, wait a minute. We got to go play Lebanon. Oh, no. We're going to have to tangle with McPherson. No, they're 4A. They're probably 4A.
But yeah, they were. But
maybe then, yeah.
That meant that we were playing Sabetha and Nemaha Valley.
Yikes.
Dude, did you hear what? We got bumped to 3A. That means we have to play Sabetha. Oof. Sabetha's always been tough.
That was, and at that time it was the 14 districts.
Yeah.
You remember those days.
Scrap.
And so that district,
uh-huh.
Jackson Heights, Nemaha Valley, Sabetha, and Horton.
Ooh. That's a slaughterhouse of a district. Ain't nobody coming out of there. And they didn't take runners up back in that day.
Right.
You lost, you went home.
There were years, literally, that the district champion had knocked the other one out completely just by virtue of one loss.
They came out of there limping. Yeah. They came out of that district limping. They go, what do you got for me?
They're like, what happened?
What happened?
They threw me down the missile silo.
I went down the missile silo and I got a win.
Okay, all right.
I went down the missile silo high and I got the W. That's what happened, boy. You come out of that district, you are battle-tested, literally.
Battle-tested.
Man, they can't shake you up for nothing.
Nothing.
I got the 1,000-mile stare at you. Because I came out of that district looking tough.
My mother-in-law still is not fond of me for dancing on the Raider logo at Nemaha Valley when we basketball substate. So, you know, I'm just pointing out my senior year.
Those district rivalries run deep.
Yes, they do.
Oof.
All right. I can't believe that this gimmick is going to fly.
Yeah!
He's 57.
Ugh. And he's going to win.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Probably.
Hopefully.
We'll tell you who when we continue on the game. Just of note, discussing the missile silo, aspect of my high school. The reason you had the bases that cropped up in Northeast Kansas was because Forbes at the time was an active Air Force base. So you had 9 sites that were put into place. And by, commissioned, put in place by 61, they were decommissioned in 64.
Wow.
That's how quick the turnaround on the Atlas missiles
was. Senior prank was getting the launch codes.
Fire it up.
Fire the other 8 at each other.
Yes, we just replaced the ICBM at the top with a bus.
Point it right at Sabetha. Yeah, beat us in district this year.
Okay, all right.
No, never, never, never.
He's 57.
He's 57.
Was trending on Twitter today. You know why?
I know why.
I know why.
Tell the people why, Troy.
Mike Tyson is 57 and he's going to be boxing Jake Paul.
I'm praying for a knockout, boys.
I want it to be Mike Tyson's quickest knockout ever myself.
Yeah. It just, speaking of age, this is the one we can chalk up to age. This is the one we can be like, yeah. I mean, of course, like, he's still lightning quick when we talk about, like, shadow boxing. Mike Tyson is still so fast. But he's going to be 50. He'll be 58, I think, by the time they do this.
July 20th.
Oh, no. So never mind.
AT&T Stadium.
That's a great idea, by the way. That place is monstrous. You're going to get a lot of people that want to see this. You'll be able to throw it on Netflix, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to make a lot of money.
And that's what it's for. Mm-hmm.
There are questions. Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, Texas, with sanctions combat sports in the state, will approach what will surely be a matchup that garners plenty of criticism and attention, as per ESPN. It's yet to be determined whether this will be licensed as a pro fight or an exhibition.
Exhibition.
Either way, they're going to let it happen.
Jake Paul will be 27.
Mm-hmm. 30 years his younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like I said, I think I don't know. The thing is like I haven't watched all the Jake Paul fights. I've seen a couple of the finishes. They don't look great a lot of the times. A little fishy here and there.
Well, when you own the organizer.
Yeah. And the thing is
welcome to boxing.
Is there a big enough paycheck that you could give to Mike Tyson to have him take a dive? I don't know if there is. I don't know if Mike Tyson, the legendary boxer himself, would ever look at any check and be like, I'll take a dive for that. Like, I can't see that. So I have mixed feelings is what I feel.
You know, at 57 though, he's like, I'll tell you what, how about we do this? First round, go out there. If he rings my bell, I'll give the signal. I'll tap my face tattoo twice, and that's why I'm going down in a second. I'm going down. If he doesn't pop him, then I'll be like, maybe I could hang in here for a little bit. Let's do this. I mean, I don't know. Jake Paul has legit power. I mean, the Tyron Woodley knockout is a legitimate knockout.
6 KOs.
He knocked that man unconscious. I don't know. He keeps looking for a legitimate, like to be legitimate.
I agree.
This is not the way to go about it, but this is the way he is. He's in trouble because the last 2 of his pay-per-views, no one's bought him.
Yep.
So have to drum up some interest. And what better interest than Mike Tyson if he's willing to fight? You drum up some interest and then you go, I'm going after so-and-so after this fight. And it might do what he needs it to do and jumpstart that career back.
Please, for the love of everything that is holy, pick a boxer that's not past 50 for his next fight.
Larry Holmes was like, oh, man.
I understand that Tyron Woodley is a very, very decorated striker and one of the hardest hitters in his division in the UFC. But stop picking UFC guys.
Yeah.
You're taking half 2/3 of what they do in a cage slash ring away from them. Mm-hmm. Their instinct is not to just box. Tyron Woodley is used to being able to at least go to his legs.
Right.
And so just pick a boxer. And I have to clarify, pick a boxer that's not plus 50.
Yeah, no doubt. Because
technically he did just pick a boxer, but he's 57.
Next up, George Foreman. After that, Larry Holmes.
After that, a hologram of Muhammad Ali.
I got Muhammad.
Everybody lost their mind when George Foreman came back at 38.
Uh-huh.
38.
And you would have thought that it was 98, the way people were oh my God, look at this old man. And then you watch some of the highlights, and that old man is crushing people, ends up winning the heavyweight championship of the world. It won't happen in July. I would love to see, because Jake Paul is a cruiserweight, which is like, I think it's 200 pounds. He's a big kid. You know, that's a big dude. I would if he did fight someone legitimately, a cruiserweight boxer with some success, like someone we know, a name brand, he'd get murdered.
Yeah.
So this is what he's left with. He's got to fight these kind of guys, and this is what it's going
to
be.
And until he does that, we will continue to say that it's not legit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's 57. He's
57.
There's your headline. I'm going to title the podcast.
He's
57.
He's 57. He gets the senior discount, you know, at different places. And he's probably going to be, like, he's going to be on edibles and stuff, too. So it's going to be all stoned. Come on, Troy.
I mean, come on, man. I'm 53. Oh. And then I see Becky Hammon, and she's starting to go gray. I mean,
you got 4 years to get yourself ready for a boxing match.
Let's go, Jake.
Brother.
That's fantastic.
All right. Ask us anything when we wrap as we get you out for high school basketball shortly here on News Radio KMAN. He's not 57.
No, I'm not. It's asking K-Rocker. Yesterday was a would you rather. Would you rather, after researchers celebrated what they call a dream discovery, they found a bunch of helium in northern Minnesota. Would you rather always sound like you just inhaled helium, kind of Mike Tyson style, or would you have to speak really fast like the Micro Machines guy back in the day?
Oh, I can do the Micro Machines thing.
He could do it right now.
He did it right there.
Because he absolutely positively had to be there overnight.
He's pretty quick.
That was really fast.
I think he's got his answer.
See, you forget that was one of the FedEx commercials.
That's also, yeah, that's right.
When it absolutely positively has to be there overnight.
See? He's done. What about you?
I think I'm going to go with the helium just for the comedy aspect of it. Just for the fun.
We're back.
The only thing is I may lose my job here if I do.
Yeah, no.
Well, can you keep the fast talk, though, at the same time?
Both. A lot of K-Rockers said both, so I don't know why, but sure, go ahead.
The helium concerns me with my heart.
That's right. We don't need none of that. You're a fast talker guy.
Yeah, okay. I'll stick to the fast talk face.
Perfect.
Yeah, one of those guys that can easily do a car sale ad.
Or the tag at the very end.
Yes, that's what I meant, yes. 3.7 financing. Mitch Fortner on the call coming up. Rock Creek 4A Boys State Basketball is next as they take on Atchison. Back with the game tomorrow at 4 on K-Man.